G'day and welcome. I'm Cassie McCullough and this is The List, RN's pop culture and TV smorgasbord. Today, the coolest of fashion accessories, the history and meaning of sunglasses, and an Australian view from inside the writer's room on the rise and rise of telly. But first, culture watchers, to a look at the week in pop culture. And g'day to writer and critic for The Guardian and The Daily Review, Luke Buckmaster.
Hello, Cassie. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Excellent.
I'm feeling a lot better than a whole bunch of people who work for Woolworths would be feeling this week.
It's been a bit of a bad week for them.
Brandzak Day.
The fresh fruit people.
Yes, is something that will be fresh in our memories for a long time. And I just wonder whether there is a bit of fatigue and that's what exploded with the fury.
I think we're definitely inundated with narratives and stories, but it feels like everybody is trying to get a piece of that story and by extension kind of selling off a chunk of it. You know, you can go onto Target's website, for example, and buy rosemary-scented candles and special cushions to commemorate the Anzac legend.
Now, wristbands.
That sort of says to me that personally I don't think that's kind of taking it very seriously. I mean, the idea that I would rush out to buy a scented candle and the idea that a company would use a tragedy to sell that, I think all these narratives and stories have cross-pollinated into products and people at the moment because there's so much happening, so they're inundated with all this stuff, are thinking, well, we're ready to complain about it.
Mm. But, you know, the government itself is said to have spent something like $300 million on commemorations around the country and overseas on this, well, the centenary of the landing at Gallipoli. That's a lot of investing in national storytelling. But then I think, well, this is a story that's always been co-opted in some kind of way. Firstly, the English generals who didn't want the nature of the disaster to be revealed, and then Charles Bean and his colleagues fighting to get the story through and so on. It's always been a story that's been used for different purposes.
Perhaps it's worth remembering that the Anzac spirit and the Anzac legend was born out of World War One films, and those films weren't playing for free. They were catering to a very specific audience from people who wanted to see them during the war, and that was back in the years when the Australian film industry were able to cater to the whims of audience behaviour and audience demands to a point that they're not able to do it now. World War One films about dramatisations about soldiers going off to war were very popular. So the Anzac legend was born, you know, on the big screen, and people kind of had to pay to see it. But so to completely take your point about these stories being co-opted.
Well, to complete the circle, the Adelaide Advertiser pointed out a week or two ago that one of the images that Woolworths was using was actually one that was staged all those years ago.
Right.
It was never a genuine moment in the first place. Mm. Well, if the Hall of Mirrors phenomenon is the theme that we're travelling down. This happened this week.
Tomorrow, if you give godlike powers to everyone, it's going to be chaos.
See the exclusive world trailer premiere for Marvel's Ant-Man.
That's right. That's a trailer premiere. It's a preview of a trailer for a movie.
Wow. So, yeah, it's a trailer for a trailer. What's next? A trailer for a trailer to a trailer? You know, a teaser trailer now goes for about 30 seconds. What, that teaser of that teaser goes for, what, 8 seconds? The next one's going to be about 2 seconds some subliminal flash.
I tell you what happens next. It's this.
Hey, guys, come here. Look at this trailer for Ant-Man, Marvel's next phase of superheroes.
So this is three guys picking apart
the
trailer.
Makes that he can shrink, and he can also communicate with ants, and he gets like the proportionate strength.
So really, you get what I'm saying about the Hall of Mirrors.
Insightful critical response to that trailer, but yeah, to be fair on those gentlemen, they're not working with a sublime text.
Yeah.
So it's about sort of people responding instantly and this sort of echo, the Hall of Mirrors, echo chamber, social media stuff.
I guess it's a bit like marginalia. You have the film as the central object. You have the trailer as an associated object, then a preview of the trailer, and then somebody's own homemade response to the trailer. I mean, It's like people scribbling in margins.
Mm. It seems to be a bit out of control. Taking a little bit far, yeah.
Although I must say, Ant-Man looks great, as does Paul Rudd.
And the people releasing this, they go, okay, well, we've got this killer trailer coming up. How do we maximise that? We're part of the PR team. We're part of the marketing people. I know. Let's create another bit of content for that bit of content. And then you're right. And then three or four shaves off that one big piece of content, you've got something that goes for about 2 seconds that is absolutely meaningless.
All right. Now, since we've come this far, I want you to see if you can tell me what you think this is.
It's possible to change if you work hard and if you're committed to change and maybe if you get some help. But these people are not engaged in a process. You know, Don journals or swims and it's admirable. But then the next time something stressful happens, he's right back at the bottle. Or, you know, what we've seen is that without the supports of a very solid relationship and home and job, Don does not do well.
Don, who's Don? A drinker? Don's a drinker?
Don
He's having trouble
Draper?
With the bottle? Don Draper. Okay, so we're in a Mad Men style situation here going on. Okay.
Well, that's right. Mad Men now in its final season is underway. That's Dr. Stephanie Newman, a New York psychoanalyst and author of Mad Men on the Couch, talking on a podcast called The Mad Men Pregame Show. That it runs before every episode each week.
Wow. What? And she gives her opinion on the psychology of the character, some sort of reading. And
she's psychoanalyzed every character in it, the dynamics, etc.
See, I just picture psychiatrists really need sort of two people, don't they? Like they've got to ask somebody questions and they respond rather than they stare at a screen and then draw their own conclusions. This seems to completely weird.
Evidently not, but apparently Don's very prone to abandonment behavior.
Uh-huh. Oh, well.
So there you go.
A sympathetic character to a point.
That's the week in the bended glass of a hallway of mirrors.
Well, yes. And I love that analogy, the bended glass of the hallway of mirrors. I feel like I'm looking into different shades of myself right now.